Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You guys don't have to go here with me, but something has to be done. So, all right.
Here we go.
Long time ago, in a wrestling world far, far away, The Rock came back to fight Cena. And those of us, the Midnight Deckhands, which was the vast majority of upper to lower mid-card guys, we would take our turns, get a little sun on our face, and then we'd get pulled back down into the bucket. But we all worked together as a team. When one of us was up, everyone rallied about. When it was his turn to be the guy, everybody got in line. The Rock coming back, he big leagued everybody. You know, he had his own private dressing room, and he really only talked to the guys that he needed to bump for him, as I remember it. And so a lot of us were Team Cena. We wanted to make sure Cena looked his best during promo battles against Rock and stuff, because the Attitude Era has an unfair advantage. They're cool, and we're not. They can come in and cuss. They can call. And that's really the big advantage they have. Like, when two men are going at it back and forth on a verbal battle, and one of the men can pull out the card at any time, he has an unfair advantage.
Yep.
Because if you call another man a bitch 3 feet from him and you don't start scrapping, the crowd is going to assume you are that said bitch.
Yep.
And they're going to pop every time he says it. So you have to be really clever for a PG era sponsor responsible WWE superstar to battle with an Attitude Era superstar who does not feel he needs to follow those rules. Like, he can't play on our field. We have to play on his field, and we aren't even allowed in the locker room. So it is an unfair advantage. And how you deal with this advantage is you have really smart-ass guys around to bring up stuff you can say without cussing to get that same reaction. And I, believe it or not, was good at feeding said individuals lines to help them in their battle against the Attitude Era. I was not part of the Attitude Era. I did not participate, so I will not support. When they come into our house, I am the PG Era guy, so I will support my crew. I was Team Cena 1,000%, as we should be. Couldn't help but notice during his famous promo on the building with the helicopter. And Aaron, you'll remember this. He had sunglasses on. And while he was burying Cena in his promo on the skyscraper with the helicopter, I couldn't help but notice the reflection of the teleprompter in his sunglasses. So I couldn't wait when I saw Captain Cena. I said, I don't know what you're going to say tonight, but I do know if you're going to rap, I know a word that rhymes with helicopter. It's called teleprompter. And it was confirmed, and it was used, and he was victorious that night, even though he was called a bitch and every other thing underneath the sun, because it's just not fair. Also, there was a little leak about somebody writing promos on their hands.
Yeah.
Midnight Deckhands also got that information to our heavyweight champ, our leader. Because it was a team sport. Even though it's individual achievement, it's a team sport. You got to protect your own. So even though I have moved on and I'm retired, Cody and Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal are midnight deckhands for life. Aaron is a midnight deckhand for life. We have a responsibility. Now, whether we're in the alumni page or retired or working for another company, at some point, you always have to remember where you came from. And having said that, these recent promos of attacks on Cody Rhodes, who I've been on the record saying I didn't care if he finished his story or not, now I care for him to finish the story. Because The Rock's using foul language again. And the other guys, it's not fair. Seth and them can't use it. Like, if he calls them a motherfucker or something, they have to be like, gosh darn it, you bad guy. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
They gotta start poking at the bear and picking
so
it apart.
So I'm just going to throw some stuff out there. Okay? Do what you want. First of all, I get you can't cuss at him, but you can call him by his nickname. His real nickname.
Dewey.
Is Dewey.
Dewey.
Dewey ain't tough. Like, what you talking about, Dewey? Like, why is it? Call him Dewey. Oh, because he might get mad. So what? He's calling you on national TV. You can call his ass Dewey. Now you got to be respectful, right? Because if you're gonna attack someone of the Rock's caliber, you got to be respectful. So I would put him over first before you went in the Dewey. I'd be like, listen, Rock, you're the most dangerous person on the planet right now. And messing with you is a huge task. I mean, after all, you killed Superman.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yep.
You were so awful as Black Adam. You did what Lex Luthor, Kryptonite, Bizarro, and the Legion of Doom couldn't do. You killed Superman. We don't have a Superman anymore because Black Adam killed him.
Yep.
Huh.
I didn't even see that movie.
Nobody did because he killed Superman.
He thought he had a little too much stroke.
He was so dangerous
as Black Adam, he killed Superman. We don't have that Superman anymore. I don't know about you guys, but I like that Superman. I thought he was a good Superman.
This episode's going to get ratings, boys. This episode's going to get ratings. I see it already.
So,
but on the promo aspect, I agree with you, man. Like, it's a promo, and dude is just saying whatever. So, the gloves are off. You just
right.
You know what I'm saying? You just do.
And the last time he said whatever, he killed Superman. So I'm worried about Seth. I'm worried about McIntyre. I'm worried about Cody. And of course, anybody rolling with him is going to get the residual effects. You will never see Hawkman movie now. Thanks. You killed a whole franchise in one movie. So, yes, he needs to be feared.
He got fired on a Friday.
He is literally, yeah. Superman got fired and he wasn't even on the set. He was sitting at home in London having an average day and they're like, hey, did you see Black Adam? Yeah. No, why? What happened? You're fired. We're starting over.
Like, how did he do it?
I was on my day off.
Yeah.
I get fired on my day off.
You ruined DC, which is hard to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Man,
You know what? Marvel's getting out of hand. Maybe you could take a role with Marvel and straighten that shit out.
Bring some real acting back.
Yeah, you know what he should do is Rock literally should be, if you have a season finale, have The Rock show up because he'll make sure that shit is over.
Oh my goodness! He's just swinging at the bear.
You want? Hey, but I'm a bigger bear. I'm not worried about him. What he gonna do to me? No, tell on me? What's he gonna do? Come whip my ass? No.
No, I'm your brother, bro.
He cussing me. He gonna get cussed back by someone who actually cusses for a living. But I'm saying, I'm looking, like I said, I don't watch that much anymore. I watch the young guys, but
fair is fair. What's the worst that'll happen if any of these dudes match his cussing? You know what I'm saying?
They won't have a job anymore.
You'll get fined.
Really? Just like that?
Yeah, just like that.
Still?
You'll be fined. Yeah. You'll be fined. You'll probably creatively be killed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know what?
You know, here's the other side of it, right? Here's the other, all joking aside, and again, other than the fact that I'm dead serious, he did kill Superman. But the other side of it is, if you know the parameters, and this is the window for you to get over. Now, back in the day, it was, you know, you couldn't use somebody's finishing move. If you know you can't use the F-bomb and the B-word and this, that, whatever to get over, and everybody understands that, that it's creatively game on. But when everybody else is following a certain rules and then you have the attitude era guys come in, and they get the pop because they were part of, and there's no hate here. That was the, with the exception of probably Rocky III, Hogan era, when wrestling was just everywhere. Didn't matter what wrestling it was, everybody had to see it. They're at a pinnacle right now. So it is, but the guys are getting over within the parameters of family TV. So what that means is basically Seth can be over and your six-year-old can watch him get over. And then The Rock shows up and calls everybody B-word, and then all of a sudden your six-year-old, you might not want to watch anymore. I get it, especially in this day and age. You trigger somebody with a run because words are so powerful. But it's such an unfair advantage because the fans don't know that. I mean, I'm not talking about the marks who literally have podcasts watching other wrestlers wrestle so people see them go, whoa, wow, Orton's back. Yo,
yep.
He's jacked. Yep. That's like there should be a science theater watching them. Like, no one wants to watch you watch wrestling, bro.
That's a new YouTube thing. I don't know. I don't get where that comes from.
Yeah, I don't. It's somehow convincing their mom they're getting paid to do wrestling, which they don't even have
the decency to clean up for the camera either.
No.
They're all disheveled with the glasses and unshaven.
Just rolling out of bed.
Rolling out of bed,
getting to the computer and be like, last night's Raw was BS because Miz didn't win. Like, what the hell, man? Go out and make friends. Yeah. Tell this story at the park.
Hot pockets? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's not forget, I had a hot pocket campaign.
You did, but that didn't mean you ate them well. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's true. I did not.
I go out to Hot Pocket once a year, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it just kind of like, what I'm saying is these people, and it's across the board, right? There's people, they don't dress up anymore. Everyone is like, it's this attitude of, I don't give a crap. Like, you know, you're out in public, people wearing pajamas. And I don't mean to change the subject. We'll get back to...
No, it's the same because The Rock is childish, so I get it.
No, wait a minute. Now, here's pajamas. The thing. Like, back to The Rock, I don't know if you remember this. Like, when he came back for that run, there was something happening in the dark, and then they sent me out there to take the gimmick Rock Bottom and stuff like that, and we actually went back and forth on the mic for about 10 minutes, right? And he did all of that, but... And again, this is just my perspective. And I agree with what you're saying in the sense of, yeah, it is an unfair advantage to say, hey, you can do whatever you want and you can't, right? And that is a, like, the odds are stacked, but I don't think it is a challenge that can not be overcome.
No, you have to. Because that just shows how good the PG era is.
Yeah, that, like, I mean, and again, my character was very, like, it was weird. I always said it was a sleeper because it could have existed, I think, in any era, because it was just this archetypal, like, I'm smarter than you, right? Yeah.
That stick never gets old. You were just a genius, a little more, you were the genius type mentality, but you physically were, I don't want to say you were a better wrestler, because we don't know, because what we saw from Poffo was pretty much enhancement stuff on TV, but he could go, when he was a genius, he got a little bit of a push, a little bit of run, but at that point he was more of a manager. But as a babyface, you know, he was a pretty good worker. But you, as a heel, you had a viciousness that the genius didn't have. Like, the genius was a smart ass that you knew you could kick his ass. You were a little different. You were a smart ass and not pump the brakes. You kind of had that, like, that general feel from, like, The Walking Dead. Like, he obviously has some sadistic issues to go along with it. So it was a little different character, but it is transferable. But it was also a character that I wouldn't say was necessarily a gimmick. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, it wasn't a gimmick. Funkasaurus was a gimmick. I don't think Sandow was a gimmick. I think Sandow was a character that was aggressive and would get in your face. Like, he was what should have been the beginning of our own Ric Flair.
It was a persona, right?
Yeah,
it was good, bad, or indifferent. It was a persona,
championship winning persona. It was a top heel character. So it transitioned. Those always transition. They always can work. Top heels work everywhere. Hating your boss and your job works everywhere. Stone Cold, didn't matter what generation, would work. Because anyone who hates their boss is going to be like, I love this guy. I wish I could do that at work. You know,
100%. And then
you was like, man, I'd love to punch him in his mouth. But he might hit me back.
That was a gimmick.
Yeah.
That was a gimmick.
Yeah.
But no, and had in the 80s, right, there not been this overwhelming sense of patriotism, Hogan would not have worked. Because Hogan, in my opinion, like he was a larger than life character. But like, I want to just kind of spit this out there, because this is something I've always thought. Like, okay, let's take Hogan now. Can we compare, like, if you look at a Hulk Hogan promo and then you look at a Savage promo, right? Okay, they're both delivered. Savage was actually more artistic. Artistic.
Yeah.
Flair delivered and had this very kind of classical style, right? Hogan was a guy. Hogan in a Road Warrior promo is very simple, right? And they're very similar. They would start out with a catchphrase and they'd end with a catchphrase, right? And then they would do them in the middle. The difference between Hogan is that Hogan, because he won the title from the Iron Sheik, and then later when he, you know, his song and everything, he was essentially like this archetypal symbol of America that people could all relate to, because wrestling was kind of cool. And at that time it went national, so everyone knew. And then, oh yeah, American, then, because what you had in the world.
Well,
so does that make sense? That's my theory.
Well, here's the thing about the Hogan thing. Like, he was, Vince Sr. fired him over it, like Rocky III. You're not doing Rocky III. And he took a chance and he did it. Rocky III and the Rocky franchises have turned out more stars. Like, you look at the guys who are like household names from doing that. Apollo Creed, the Russian dude, Clubber Lane, Mr. T, Thunderlips, Hulk Hogan. Like, that movie and Stallone, the Rocky series, were so hot that it launched Hogan. It put him on a whole – he was on mainstream, on the biggest stage. And I think that – and that music, I'm a Real American, was supposed to go to Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham, who are going in the Hall of Fame, but this year. But they're the USA Express, right?
Yeah,
US Express,
yeah.
That was their song, and it was taken from them and given to Hogan. So it was the American thing, but the national. Rocky III was a hit, and Rocky III was the type of movie that it wasn't written to win an Academy Award. It was written for you to have fight and have fun. It was just one of the fight scene. The boxing scenes got outrageous. Apollo Creed and Rocky stuff was not outrageous. It was art. But Clubber Lane throwing those wild wing punches the whole time, and come on, you hit me harder. It was all Hollywood. It was everything about it was extravagant and wild. And Thunderlips was bigger than life. Hogan was a household name as soon as that movie was done.
Yep.
You know, and Vince, to his credit, capitalized on it, and to where it wasn't just. It wasn't just another wrestler in a movie. This was an iconic performance that was going to live. The Rocky trilogies, and we had 4 and 5 and all that kind of stuff, but 1, 2, and 3, they are part of the American culture. Like, our kids will know what Rocky III, it's on. It's one of those that will always be in rotation. Somebody somewhere is going to, some young dude trying to come up in the world is going to be like, yo, I saw this movie, Rocky. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just. It's just one of those.
Yep.
It doesn't get old. It transcends. It's the same thing as the Sandow character. Doesn't matter where you put it, it's going to fit. If the movie came out tomorrow, we'd all relate. It's just one of those movies that you can't put a time stamp on, because it's the basic premise as long as our society goes this way. So, yeah, you're 1,000% right. But Hogan became, and it was just everything fell into place. Then you had the brilliance of bringing Mr. T in, so you got more crossover. You know, you got WrestleMania, you got Liberace, Muhammad. You have the biggest stars in America wanting to just be on stage on the, in the squared circle for a few moments, and you got somebody awesome like Gorilla Monsoon reminding them they don't belong here. It was just great. Like, yep. We didn't cater, wrestling didn't cater to the celebs.
Yep.
You know, Muhammad Ali is getting airplane spun and being told he doesn't know wrist lock from wrist watch by Gorilla Monsoon. There was wrestling,
and
he meant it. Yeah, and he threw a jab and Jake didn't sell it. Like, they protected the to even be a part of it. It was almost like you were being allowed to be a part of a secret society for a short period of time, and the less you know, the better off you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Mr. T and Orndorff and Piper, they were doing amateur moves with him in there, messing with him. So, you know, but Hogan, wrestling became mainstream 1,000%. The timing of WrestleMania, Hogan being champ, and then you just got some really great veteran heels to come from all over the world to build, be a part of the Hogan thing. And I think that's what made it. You had so many great workers that he worked with as heels that just knew what to do. And it was only, his matches were on average, 7-8 minutes?
Yeah, they were pretty quick.
But it was, and Hogan could work. Anyone seen him in Japan knows he can work.
Yep.
But they knew the formula and what the people wanted. And it worked. So you can't criticize. And Hogan never cussed. I think even as heel Hogan, did he? I don't think he ever did.
No,
I can't remember him. No,
did he even cuss when he was NWO?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he ever did.
Yeah, I don't think so. No,
he might have said damn or something, but that's
well, you know
it.
Something, yeah. Bruh, and when you know something, yeah. Brother, and then what you gonna do? I mean, it was, we all know it, whether you liked him or not, you couldn't.
I'll tell you what though, like when I was younger, those intellectual jabs. Like you revert back to Cena and Rock. Like, yeah, Rock might have called him a bitch or a pussy and all that, but when he called him out about the promo on the wrist, to me that was a bigger sting. I was like, oh, like that's
yes, good. I agree.
It is.
I agree.
It is. You're listening to the Three Wise Men, and we'll be right back after this. Now, if I could get real with you for a second, now listen, when I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym and I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle and I tried it and I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's TY. Y-R-U-S. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
When you're creatively using your mind and calling somebody out to overcome that bitch and cut, you know, the cussing and stuff, to me, man, it was just like a knife-edged sword. I was always, you know, even as a worker, you know.
Was it a reverse knife edge or a forward knife edge?
It's a forward knife edge.
Okay, because a reverse knife edge is the one you don't walk away from.
That's right. But even as a worker, I was like, oh, that was a, you know what I mean? Like, I know,
yeah.
That was okay. This is getting good. You know, that's, I like that. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I just make sure I put, made it, I, you
no,
know,
yeah, like, always, hey, listen, when I was, because I check on, you know, I look at old guys you worked with as teammates or whatever, and one of my favorite people, not just to work with, but just to be around, General Drew McIntyre. He's just a stand-up guy, and one of my favorite people. Probably one of the most physical guys to be in the ring with, but I guess so was I. But I always enjoyed that. I always enjoyed a fun, safe, aggressive approach to the business that we do. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to hurt a little bit, because otherwise anyone else could do it. So I always kind of looked at it that way. But you just, our era doesn't get enough credit for having to be that creative. Now, it's something I just do. I'm just like, listening to him talk all this crap, and I was just like, bruh, you kill Superman. Like, I don't think you should be critiquing anybody. Like, you just,
if that's said in the right setting, the whole crowd's
the crowd has sucked air out of the room. They'd have to leave.
Yeah.
They'd have to go to commercial. You know, and they'd be in the back. Which writer? Who wrote that? You know?
Tyrus.
You know, or like, am I taking crazy pills? He's like Blue Steel, man. He plays the same guy in every movie, but I guess that, whatever. You know? But
you think they're scared to make those pot shots? Whereas, like,
I would imagine the new
a lot of balls.
I would imagine the new climate probably is a lot more freer than when we were there. You know what I'm saying? I think.
Yeah.
But he's also the boss too, though. Like,
it runs into the issue. The boss isn't leading by example, and I think it's fair. I think it's fair to critique this in the sense that, like, lead by example, show those young guys coming up that, yeah, you know what, you could say bitch, but you have to be clever, because that's not what the WWE does anymore,
right,
as a whole. It just doesn't do it. It wants the families in the arenas, because, and that's the only way you stay on top, that's the only way you grow your wrestling fan base, is by kids coming to the show. Now, you want to have a bunch of grown-ass men who will sing your theme song when you come out? They're not going every week. Or they know the finish, or they chant in the finish, or they get online 10 minutes after and complain because their guy didn't win. They're not going to grow your wrestling business. They're not. You know, even his stick, I'm kind of a little offended. His anti-internet wrestling fan stick, somebody else was doing that pretty well. I can't remember. NWA champ was doing that. But you got to go full regalia. You can't tell him you got no use for him, and then you're using all your social media to talk to him. Like, you got to make
That's
it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need you, but I'm going to post on social media.
But buy my tequila.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't use the internet if you're anti-internet. It's just, you know, the gimmick. But, you know, again, what do we know? I just think it's one of those things where you would like the creativity to be on an equal playing field, so you can really appreciate Seth Meyer and Cody, and this also has to do with, like, the Usos, and they have to use words like yeet and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to be creative. They just can't come out and say we're the shit. They can't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They have to be creative, and the Usos in and out of the ring are two of the most creative guys in the business, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
And you got Paul Heyman, you got Roman, you got the young kid who's still working with, you know, but The Rock will still suck all the air out of the room, because he's the only guy who can say the cold, fiery stuff. And it does affect how fans look at you a little bit. You know, and then the worst part is, if he does all that and whoops your ass, now what you got? Because that kind of what they ran into problem with Stone Cold. Like, you can't be a heel or a traditional babyface if Stone Cold's the heel, because they're going to love him.
Hey, how do you think? How you guys think heel Cody is going to be whenever it happens?
Well, it's just would love, be him in his personal life. He's always been a heel, little shit. He's always.
I'd love to see it.
Little know it all, I'm not paying attention to the storyline enough to really dwell on it, because, you know, we work for a living. But however it plays out. The question should be, were the guys that Rock came in for, are they better when it's over? Because that's what the point of bringing the legends in is, are they going to be better? Yes. That's why I always hated Heath and Sandow getting beat up by the legends. I mean, you can, even the great Gorilla Monsoon and Vader, they got the 30 seconds of the reverse knife end chops from Gorilla, and then Father Time showed up.
Yep.
And he paid, and for 30 seconds, that place was going nuts. But Gorilla's like, why would I bury my big monster? My time's up.
Yes. Well,
So he got his chops. He got his deal. Yeah. He sold. And then Vader hit him, and he crumbled like a chair because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now? Do you allow more freedom as far as what you say in promos across the board now?
I would think this would be the time for individual achievement. But again, no idea where the lay of the land is there now.
Right.
I know that Vince ruled with an iron fist, so it was his way. We always said you wrestle for an audience of one, which means doesn't matter what the fans think. It's what that one individual thinks, period.
Sadly, that is true. And that's,
you wrestle for an audience of one, and maybe with Dunn, it was episode two, and then with Triple H, it's three. But now, I would imagine if the relationship with UFC, one of the additions would be if a guy's hot, you go with him. Like UFC, if a guy's popular and people are coming all in and reacting to everything he says, he's going to be main eventing pay-per-views. So regardless of who they picked or who their guy thought they was, they're going to go based off the guy who's delivering. Like you don't just put Ronda Rousey there. She earns it. You just don't put Brock as champ. He's got to earn it in FC. So I think maybe if you have that, some of that mindset tricking over instead of like, I really like this guy, so we're going to push him. Opposed to this guy, look what he's doing on house shows. Look at the reactions he's getting. This is the guy we got to push. I think that will be better for everyone because that suddenly becomes fair.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I would hope, but you would hope it's across the board everywhere that's like that. Like that at the NWA, it's like that at AEW and New Japan. The guy that's getting over, you allow him to get over. The days of like, well, we didn't pick you. It's not your time. You're for the future. There is no future in wrestling.
But the problem now is, in my opinion, like there's the people that are getting over are few and far between. Where an LA Knight stands out to me as someone who's really kind of grabbed the attention of the fans and made something special out of it. But you know, he stands out today. And in the Attitude Era, you had a bunch of people like that. And the art of getting over it's dying, right? So when like fans now, they show up and okay, move. And
fans also pick guys to get over because they think they're anti-office.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that now where I work with LA Knight quite a bit. And sometimes you have to wonder, are the cheers there because they think they're messing with the system? Mm-hmm. Or is it him? And I guess the only way to find that is if you put a title on him and see if it changes anything.
Exactly.
Because you got to, at this point, he's done everything, whether you like it or not, he's done everything he can to get in the dance. He's worked everybody you want to put him with. So you put a title on him. Yeah, you put a title on him and you see what happens.
Yeah.
And if it goes away and they transition it to another guy who doesn't have a title or isn't getting a shot, then you know the crowd is now trying to determine who's a star and who's not a star. And that's on the company to put a stop to that shit. Because the internet will burn you. The internet guys, they pick guys, they pick the wrong guys quite a bit. Or they want to think they have a control in the industry. Like, you're not a part of the industry, you're a fan. That's like me calling up the Dallas Cowboys and wanting to, who are you going to start in O-line this week? I need to know. They'd be like, what? Click? You know what I'm saying? And wrestling's the same thing, where the internet guys think they should be writers and GMs for the, like, I see this shit all the time and I just laugh. I'm like, well, why aren't you?
Yep.
You know, if it's so easy,
yeah,
man, you got a garage, don't you? Well, your mom does. Like,
because they can't control their own life, so they try to control the world of,
building around your own stuff, you know, and they're like, oh,
yeah, they know it all.
I'm over. Yeah. You're over. Like, who are you? You're on a computer talking about other people living their best lives.
Yep.
Best life is, it is. I keep it real. I don't give a damn about internet wrestling fans. I don't. I don't care at all. You don't buy nothing. I don't worry about you in the least bit. Somebody talking like you start reading comments as critiques, good, bad, or different. Like that says a lot about you. Like you either should
you drive yourself. crazy, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you're gonna, every fan that has a complaint, you're going to honor them? No. Like, you don't like? Listen, you do it. You do it your way. You get to this position, you can do it any way you want, see fit, see how it works out. But until you do, take two steps back and shut the fuck up.
Keep buying a ticket, man. Keep buying a ticket.
Yeah, but they don't even buy tickets. They do it at home online.
Yep. That's the thing. Yep.
They don't.
Sad.
It's just the fact that, and it's not just wrestling. It's just across the board. Too much weight has been put on social media as relevance. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
Let me ask you guys something. This is actually really interesting now because, you know, I, of course, as you all know, I am the oddball when it comes to things like sports.
And relationships.
Yes, and pretty much life outside of professional wrestling.
Social interaction.
Neither here nor there. I do have my good points. But fantasy football, there's a lot of dudes that, I mean, when this fantasy football stuff comes up, I mean, this is serious business. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't participate in fantasy football because there's no reason to. And I proved my point in the WWE's Fantasy Football League, where, if I remember right, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and Henning were obsessed with winning. And I said, it doesn't really matter. It's random as hell. It's the NFL. Any guy at any given day could have a good game. They're all pros. And so I didn't make any trades. I didn't move my stuff around. And I hovered in like third or second place. Then, and I had Tom Brady. I got randomly selected to Tom Brady.
Wow.
And Kingston's a Patriot fan. And I like Kofi. And Miz, I like Miz, but publicly I act like I don't like him. And so Kofi came up to me and he was like, man, are you interested in trading for Brady? I'm like, what do you got? And I was looking around. I said, yeah, I'll take that running back. And it was Hampton from the Giants, Rodney Hampton, and made the trade. And I get a call from the fantasy football guys. Just want to make sure this is okay trade. You're trading Tom Brady for Rodney Hamilton. And I was just like, do you play ball? Did you ever play ball, man? He's like, no, I didn't. I said, well, I played ball. So I want to go with this running back. I feel he's hot. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't even think of it that way. I apologize. You know, I was bullshitting. I just wanted to prove that it didn't matter. And then I ended up with Michael Vick as my starting running back, quarterback. And then Miz asked me for a trade, and I gave it to him. And, like, guys were just asking me for whatever trade was. I'm like, yeah, I'll trade you, whatever, whatever. And they thought they were slick. Guess what? I still finished second. I didn't make one sub. I traded away every guy whenever someone asked me to because I was like, it doesn't matter. Just buy the lottery ticket and wait and see what happens. But, but I remember The Miz was obsessed. He was like, wait a minute, how can you make these deals and this, that, whatever? And Kofi was happy because every time Kofi came to me, he was like, hey, I was like, yeah. So they thought that maybe I was point shaving.
You know what? I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
And actually, like, it robbed.
Yes. And I was like, nah, I ain't changing nothing. I'll still end up getting points. Because it's just the point. Like, it's random. It doesn't – there's so many other things. I don't get it. You know, again, spending your time, watch the game, enjoy the game, have a favorite player. Of course, we all do that. I do that. But doing fantasy basketball and all the other kind of stuff, I got too much stuff going on for a hobby like that. I just feel like if you have kids, a career, any type of relationship – you know, and I get it. Guys have draft parties and all this kind of thing. I think
I have none of those, and I don't play it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. You don't do parties. What are you going to do at a party? You have to interact.
No, I mean, I kind of have a career, but
not those kind of parties. That's for sure.
No,
well, I might get DDT'd again for this, but I don't really follow football, so I never did the fantasy football thing. Every time, like, so people always start talking to me about football, and I'll just play alone sometimes. And other times, I'll just be like, I don't watch football, bro. And they just look at me with
like, you're crazy, right? And that's
I lose my man card for not following football.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Like, a lot of people.
Somebody asked me today, who's the guy the Eagles just got? Saquon, right?
Yeah.
I think they Saquon. Yeah, somebody asked me, so what do you think about Saquon? And I was just like, we'll see. And then he just, you know.
And then you're also in Philly. That's another reason, man. Like, they're diehard Eagle fans. And Sixer fans.
If I would have said, bro, I don't watch it, I probably, you know, probably would have got robbed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, being robbed twice in 3 months is a little ridiculous, even for you.
Maybe.
I don't care if a dude watches football or not. I really don't care. Anyone who cares what you do with your personal life or what sport you're into, goes back to, what are you doing that I need to worry about what Jeezy does on his Sundays?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I get entertained by it.
Yeah,
by people getting angry with me because I don't watch football. It's the same as like when people would ask you like, "So I heard you wrestle." Yeah, I do. Isn't it fake? You know what I mean? I get a thrill getting pissed off. You know what I'm saying? That I do something that they're not into or that they feel
they try to be clever. Wrestling's the one thing. Like, well, I heard that was fake. I'm like, yeah. So is all your favorite movies, bro.
Bro, it's like going, hey, I heard magic wasn't real.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who gives a shit?
Just I always enjoy say, it. Try it, man. It's so easy. You could do it. Just sign a waiver and try it. You know, and probably that first lockup will let them know, like, yeah.
Make sure your ring is in the back. Because
like I always tell them, the only thing that's scripted is the finish. Yeah. Everything else, you got to go out and do it. And a lot of times, it's not going to feel good. And if you're doing it right, it's going to be a safe hurt. But you don't get guys like this, Trevor, myself. Aaron's a big guy. He's not a little guy. Mike Knox, you get blunt force trauma in the ring, and you throw in soup bones. You don't think someone's going to get hit? Like, that's part of it. You know, that's just the way it is, the nature of the beast. And when you got people sitting 10 feet from you, watching your every move, There's no error. You miss something, you just ruin. You expose the business, and it's better. Yeah, it's better to say, "Hey, I owe you a beer," and tater you, than to swing.
Yeah.
And miss,
yeah.
You know, and then somebody fabs the swing and takes a bump, and you just ruin. And you can't get that back.
Right.
No.
And
I've been in the side of that. I've been in where you know I'll never forget Dolph and Swaggle and I against Dolph and Swag and. Dolph put his foot up to Dylan. Dylan had a rough week at SmackDown. He wrestled Drew. I remember thinking, like, so his look at, because Drew's a physical guy. Drew is physical. And he doesn't care if you're 3 feet or 7 feet, he's going to wrestle you the same. And let's just say that Swag didn't blink that entire match they had. Didn't blink. And he got through it. And then the following week, he was still a little, I think he was still a little shook, you know? And he got shot off. And Dolph, you got to, like, Dolph's like paper mache, man. You won't feel a thing from him. But everything he does looks good. And Dylan wasn't having that shit. He pumped that brakes like 3 feet from Dolph's boot on Monday Night Raw, live TV, and took the bump. And I just was like... And you could see me looking at the screen with my mouth open, like, oh, no, no. Like,
yeah.
Like, no. Like, oh, God. Like, you could. And then, of course, then Dolph was like, shit. And then Dolph goes to hit the, you know, drop a leg and he moves. That hot tag that was building for the last 3 minutes, you could have dropped a pin in the building. Whoa. Like, you can hear the tag. You can hear the tag. And it's like, boom, yeah. Boom, boom. And I'm like, the whole time Swag's feeding and Dolph's feeding, I was like, this is the shits. And they're like, oh, you know, and we get to the back to the curtain. And I think if I remember right, I think that was the end of our feud even. Like, the whole thing got shit canned. So it was not a good day for anyone. And Dolph was like, hey, listen, I've wrestled 1,000 matches. And we're all getting chewed out. And Dylan looks at us and goes, you heard what he said. And I was just like, you little motherfucker. You know, it was like, it was your fault. Yeah. But like, you know, he was like, I don't know. It wasn't on me. I'm like, huh? And he left. And we were just sitting there. And I remember Dolph was like, oh, this is bullshit. I want to kill him. But it's just it's the nature of the beast. It doesn't matter whose fault it was. It happened. You know, and that's just the one thing.
Right.
That's the one thing in our business that can't happen. Is you cannot miss. Unless it's a high-risk maneuver. But even now when guys miss, the internet gives them shit. Guy climbs to the top rope, slips and falls. That's why it's called a high-risk maneuver. And it should be an easy finish to the match. He crash and burn. Used to be that way. Coco went up, went to hit drop. Boss man moves. He fed up, slam, one, two, three. It used to be okay. It was a high-risk maneuver. Babyface missed it. And usually that's what caused him losing the match.
Yeah, and then, no, and then, yes, like, to take it another step, right? Didn't you and I do the spot sometimes where I would pretend like I was on the outside and I was going to jump in the ring, but I would yes. trip and fall and then, like, become embarrassed, like, but I would eat shit on it.
You yeah.
know? Like, take the nosedive, and fans would, they thought I did it on accident, but, you know.
Yeah, no, and they were laughing at you when Santino did it, where he went up to the second. I've got the guy in the arm bar waiting for him to do a double X handle. He'd go up to the second and slip. And be so afraid
about
climbing
that,
the ropes. Like, yeah, it was – the crowd was cheering for him to get him up. You know, falling through the ropes and making a slip doesn't always have to be spectacular. If you're telling a good story.
Was that the Tiger Shirt Tour that you
yes,
guys did that?
Yes, that was the Tiger Shirt Tour, yeah.
That's I remember – that's right, because that was a spot you did every night.
We did it every night. Nobody was killed every night. And then he burned me with the snake gimmick in – I think it was Poland. Is that our last night in that tour? Yeah, it must have been Poland when he did the just wait for me thing. And I was sort of cracking up. And Cena was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, and Santino goes, no one got hurt. So he had a great, I always have a great answer when you're asked in the spot. But again, it goes back to the same thing. You have to protect. Like, and there was times, and Trevor will tell you, like, as much as we love wrestling each other, there's like, boom, oh, come on, man. Like, sorry, dog, everybody's watching. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, and you'll hear it in there. You'll hear the, it's always a deep laugh when you get stuck. You know, like, bam, oh, you motherfucker. Okay, okay. Is this because I took your chair this morning? Is that what this is about? You know, because you could have the chair back. Like, no problem.
And then usually followed by an apology by whoever did the striking.
Yeah, like, and then I think that was our thing with gut punching in Battle Royals, wasn't it? Everybody was punching the shit out of each other in the gut. And like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, don't do it again. Like, I've had enough. Was it because Masters walked over me one time and I punched him in the stomach and he was just like, where's the air? And I was like... You need to make sure you were selling, Briz, you know, like, but that was a thing, you know, we tatered guys that you were comfortable working with and not on purpose. It just kind of happened, you know?
I've hit my friends way.
Yeah. It's always you should most be afraid of your buddies in the ring with you.
Yep.
You know, even I remember, and I know we got a wrap here, but, when Aaron and I were trying to make our feud different, we did some old school things, like one, I had him break my merch in the ring, which nobody did anymore because you can't buy it if it's broken. And I had these Funkasaurus necklaces that were selling like hotcakes. And I had one on and I took it off my head when he clipped me and it was there. And I just was like, break it. And he picked it up and he was like, he snapped that shit over his knee. And the place was like, oh, plus everyone thought he broke my leg. When we went over it and they're like, this got to look good. I just said, listen, man, I'm not going to look back. Just clip me, you know, and I'll just try to football. Someone clip me from behind. I will, you know, I know it's coming, but I'm not going to try to anticipate it. So if you hit me, it should look like a dumpster fire because I'm just going to go. I'm not anticipating it. I'm not timing it. I trust you. I'll see you out there, man. And when he clipped me, Fit Finley and Arn Anderson thought I broke my leg. And I was probably the most proud of that moment because we had tricked two guys that had seen it all. You know?
Yeah.
So, and doing those the old school stuff works. It doesn't take, it's a one little thing that makes everything serious. So we went into the house shows, everybody, and I even think I kept the broken necklace. I brought it out with me a couple times. Everybody was waiting for him to get his ass beat. And the first 5 minutes of our match was him avoiding it. And like he'd fall through the ropes to get away from me, hop over the rail to get away from me, scream like, and they just the anticipation. We're 5 minutes in and no one's touched anybody yet. And then you go home and you think, oh, you invented the reel, and then you watch a Flair and Dusty, or you watch any, especially if you look at any WCW stuff in the mid '80s and '90s, everybody had a feud. Like if you look at Midnight Express and literally everybody. You know, whenever they made that tag, it was when were they going to get their hands on Cornette at some point? you know, and you watch just for that. So it was like we didn't reinvent the wheel. It's just that when you know what the recipe is and you can make your apple pie smell like their apple pie, then you figured it out, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm hoping we get back to that point where the guys start getting a little older and they start figuring out, instead of killing myself every night, I'm going to tell stories, work smart, and make the fans invested in everything I do. Because if your punch means something to them, you've got them. If the only time it means something to them is a 360 splash, you're going to have a short career.
Yeah. And then they'll get fired from whatever company they're in and end up making up their own OnlyFans.
Jesus. That's a whole other episode. Okay. For the record, before we go. No, we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about OnlyFans next week. Just for the record, how many of us here on the pod have an OnlyFans? Okay, apparently three directors in the back have one. I don't have one.
No.
Aaron?
Never.
No. I believe you, Jeezy. I believe. I know Trevor doesn't.
Okay, if I had an OnlyFans, I would be living in Safety Harbor, Florida, in a mansion. And, yeah, no. I'm not.
Because you'd be willing to do what nobody else on OnlyFans will do. He's
once
willing to go
cracked,
there.
The
his
open.
Commitment to his fans is so.
Once the door is cracked, it is open.
Yes, that is true.
I can only imagine.
I just don't want to, you know, maybe it's because I only hear bad things about OnlyFans. I'm sure not everyone who owns an OnlyFans is into porn, but it just kind of feels like it is. So
oh,
I just
telling me they're selling.
Well, I mean,
porn
come on,
in one form of fashion.
I mean,
come on.
Nothing against porn. I love porn. I think
no.
Porn.
I'll
start an OnlyFans and I'll make it intellectual. I'll do a quote.
Okay.
Today.
All right. So we can go. By next week, Aaron will have his intellectual savior, OnlyFans, up and running.
Actually,
and
no,
all you will do, all you will do, is answer appropriate PG questions from people. And let's see, you know, here's the cool part. I think you can make a ton of money because people are going to try to get you to do stuff.
Dude, I don't need money that bad. I don't want to actually talk to people. I was talking about like posting a little intellectual quote of the day by Thomas Aquinas or someone.
Okay, that's fine.
It's $1 million idea. It's $1 million idea.
If I say, you know, hey, I'm on OnlyFans, to your point, Tyrus, the second I say me OnlyFans, all the perverts are going to think it's one thing, and I don't want that. I don't want my name associated.
Yes,
okay, listen.
No, get the traction. No. You can do this.
Yeah, Kate just gave me a great idea. She said all three of you should get OnlyFans, and each one of you say the same intellectual statements that Aaron comes up with and see how many of you get people who ask you to do the wrong thing. Like how many people are hey, I didn't come on here, Jeezy, to listen to you philosophize. Now show me that bullet scar. Let's go. Trevor, you better sing
booty
me a song. I think I'm
Did
came
I
here
see
for
your booty hole. That's
so,
what they're going
hey,
to
do.
Wow.
Pause.
Nice.
All right, one of you, these I can't do it for obvious reasons. I'm contracted. Somebody needs to step up.
I'm gonna
walk away because I gotta do Gutfeld, but I'll let you guys marinate on it. But one of you, at least one of you, has to have an intellectual savior. I'll leave it amongst
that
yourself.
Is.
Let's go. Make it happen.
Aaron Stevens.
Or do it together. Can the three? The three of you three dudes to talk about feelings.
Three dudes, one OnlyFans. Not that, no.
Oh, let the requests begin. Listen.
The next time we communicate is on the show.
That's no.
Come on, man.
We've gone too far.
Yo,
we've gone too far.
One OnlyFans. Somebody going to hear this and run with it.
Oh. You might, get a call from some of the boys at NWA going, hey, man, I heard you got OnlyFans. What's on there? How much you asking for tips? How much you asking for tips? All right, man, I'm out of here. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can reach us on our fans only page. Oh, man. actually, matter of fact, the name of your fans only page is American Males. I need 8x shirtless 8x10s of Trevor, Aaron, and Jeezy stat. We need to get on this.
No.
Oh, man, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. I don't know if we'll see you next week or not. We did a lot of line stepping this week. In the memory of Superman, enough said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and foxnewspodcast.com.